This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Evening listeners, yes, it's holiday time in South Africa. We had Easter a while ago and we're moving on to Freedom Day, which of course is a bit controversial because we don't always experience the freedom that we so hope for. But with that, it also brings me to the freedom that we have in Christ because of the fact that he died for us. But in the same way, just like we said now with this holiday in South Africa, we know we have freedom in Christ because he died for us, but it's also not so easy, right? Our theme for this month is friends and family members of those struggling with addictions. And we had the wonderful privilege to speak to Vanita last time. She's actually high up in one of the fellowships at the 12-step groups where that help people with families and family members and friends or those struggling with addiction. And so if you had missed that topic last time or the talk last time, please be sure to get it at our podcast.
Really, yeah, cool. The podcast can be found at www.kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/into-me-c. And get the podcast, listen again, there's something you may have missed, and send it on to a friend.
Yes.
And it's such a privilege, Sukie, to have Vanita with us again.
Absolutely.
And to continue this very, very important conversation with regards to family and friends of those in addiction.
Mm. Yes, and you know, with that, I'm just thinking, as we're going to go into this difficult topic now again with Vanita, and she had told us a little bit of her personal story, and she will continue to talk more about that and involvement with groups. It's so wonderful, Frederick, that the word, the Lord gives us that invitation in Hebrews 4 verse 16 that says, let us boldly approach the throne of grace.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? That doesn't matter what struggles we have, what problems we have, we can always approach his throne of grace with boldness, and we can come to him. Because often, like I say, even though we have freedom in Christ, but these struggles can be relentless, ongoing. Hey, Vanita.
Yes.
Yes.
That makes me think of the verse 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 reading, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment.
Mm.
So, yes, you know, we need all the support we can get. And my biggest support is my Redeemer, my God that I believe in, as we will talk in our 12-step groups as our higher power.
Mm. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because you're just telling us it's your biggest support. In what way? How do you experience God helping you?
You know, I don't know. I don't always know how to say it because it is called faith, but it's because you know your God is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've experienced him. And maybe I can just say something quickly. After my husband died at the age of 42, which was very young, his estate was insolvent.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost lost my house.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you how God helped me save the house and how I could eventually buy it back from the estate, it's a very long story. But I stood on the word in Deuteronomy 10 verse 18 that says he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and that's the alien, giving food and clothing, giving him food and clothing. I stood on that promise because I believed, and God came through for me. And I stayed in my house for free for 5 years, where I just paid rates and taxes. I kept the rates and taxes going and the water and lights.
Mm.
So there was no accumulation of that there, but God gave me my house.
Wow, what a testimony.
Yeah.
And it was also a situation where your husband was an addict before he passed, right?
Yes.
Mm.
And you know, and when he bought that, when we decided to buy the house, if I worked it out on paper, if I made just sums on paper with our budget, we couldn't afford it. But he was just persistent. He just came out of rehab and he said he wants to buy a house. And he did. And I often look back and I thank God that he did buy that house. Because I don't know if I would have done it on my own.
Yeah. Wow. Vanita, what I'm hearing very clearly is that all you are talking about is coming out of a deep personal relationship with through Jesus, with God, and that none of this could actually come to fruition if you were not in that deep relationship. And you know, just to add on to what Suki was scripture she was reading is that we can approach the throne with boldness, and we can do that as righteous people, righteous sinners, and it's not about how well we have done or what we have stopped doing, but it's from a deep relationship with Jesus that we can approach the throne, that we can entrust ourselves and our situations to him.
Also because we're covered by the blood of Jesus, because just now with Easter, that's what we're celebrating.
Yes,
Wow, what a precious testimony of that. Yes. And I'm sure those of us who follow him have got multiple testimonies, especially in the face of addiction. We always say our program is about facing reality and redemption in the face of addiction. Frederick said it last time as well. And then also it's about intimacy. It's about intimacy. Intimacy with God, intimacy with self, intimacy with others. That's why the program's name is Intimacy. Because at this program, we all open ourselves up. As you hear, we also do, because we are all sinners, saved by grace. And so often, please continue.
I would just like to say that this same verse, defending the cause of the fatherless, I also stood on it for my son, because my son got involved with the law in his addiction. And that was a big problem. So God saved him there from going to jail.
Wow.
Yes, and I stood on that promise as well for my son, because I said to God, he hasn't got a father. Lord, you are his father, you know?
Wow. And so what I hear what you're doing, you live by the promises of God. You stand on the word of God. It's not just a word that you read to get comfort or guidance, but a word that protects you. In your relationship, you experience God's, the Sabaoth, God fighting for you. You experience Jehovah Rapha, the Lord healing. Tell us more about that healing process for you personally in your walk as a mother of an addict.
It's an ongoing struggle, as you know.
Absolutely, I know.
But I cannot give up trusting God for my son's healing, for instance, because you know, at times it gets tough, and you know, you, especially when they're abusing you, you know, emotionally and verbally. Not even if they are. They don't have to swear at you or say ugly words, any cursing words, but just that they sort of dump their rubbish on you because they are feeling bad about themselves. And then sometimes you just want to lose it for a moment and think, you know, this person is, you feel like it's aimed at you, but it's not. It's not really aimed at you. It's, you're just an object in to help them work out their own hurt and pain that they've got.
But even in that, Vanita, I can hear the healing in you, because I know it doesn't always feel like healing, but the fact that in the program you've learned so much that you can be now or later, and maybe sometimes you still lose yourself, and that's okay because we are just human, that you can be in a different place now compared to 10 years ago or whatever time ago, and you can detach and you can let go, and that brings healing. But with that, we need to take a break, and we will talk more after the break.
Yeah, thank you very much, Anita. We'll get back on some more topics. Thank you so much, Vanita, for your sharing and your insights. And as you were sharing, it was going through my mind that you mentioned it's an ongoing challenge to have a son, for in your case, with an addiction. But I am 100% sure that it influences and damages our intimacy, because that's exactly what was happening to me in my active addiction days of sex addiction. So how does that affect, do you see that affected your intimacy and your relationship with God, others, and yourself?
You know what? I can be honest with you and say that it hasn't affected my relationship with God, because at times when I would feel guilty, maybe if I said something harsh to the person, then I can repent. I can say sorry. I can do a step eight, right? I can make amends. But yes, and then who am I in Christ? I am just righteous because of Him. I'm righteous in Him. So that has always helped me not to put guilt on myself and feel bad and just to be there, because He's actually my refuge. I run to Him. But what I can say to you about the intimacy in the family life, it's very hard. I don't have an intimate relationship with my son in the sense of we can't really share things. When he wants to talk, then he's been drinking, and then I don't want to talk because it means nothing to me. You know, I'll be polite and I'll talk to him, but then just as you think the conversation is good, then he turns it around and then it's horrible. So it's a sad thing, because it's like a vicious circle. You don't get close to one another because they are actively drinking.
And how did you experience it with your husband?
Basically the same. And I must tell you, since my husband died, I've never been in any relationship again, because I realized that I don't need someone. I am who I am. I know my identity in Christ. He's my husband. And if He sends me someone, that person is going to be okay, because I can't go through that kind of relationship again. It was too hard for me. So the same thing was there, especially when at one stage my husband was doing hard drugs. And that was bad, because they seem to be normal, but they are not, because they are totally distant. They are not there at all. And they stay away for hours and hours and hours, and they come home and they look okay, but they're not okay. So because a lot of people think intimacy is a sexual experience. It's not that. It's a different intimacy, you know.
Much different.
You can't share yourself with that person in an honest way, because it's just going to be a backlash to you. It's going to count against you later. They're going to keep something against you later. You give them a stick to hit you with. So you can never be yourself. You can never say exactly how you feel.
It's so true. And this is exactly why we do this program, because we know for us it has been an ongoing issue to have intimacy with each other. And we don't talk about sexual intimacy, just emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, spiritual intimacy. And so that is one of our big, big deals, even that Frederick is not an active addiction anymore, but sometimes they still the dry addict, the addictive behavior that comes out in times. And he referred to it himself in one of the previous programs, when there's shame or there's whatever. The moment when that happens, we cannot be close. We cannot be intimate with each other, because, exactly what you're saying.
There are some times when it's better, but there are some times when those old default patterns kick in. They are triggered, and that is when there becomes a distance between us, and there is a loss of intimacy. So, Vanita, what would you suggest and advise family and friends of addicts? What can they do to try and restore this intimacy?
A definite yes to me is find a 12-step program, because there you'll find support in people who understand, or and who are exactly where you are. you don't even, you can say one sentence and you, to them, you've written them a whole page.
Mm.
And they know what you're going through and understand. And there's nobody that understands like the people in our support group. So, yes, and also, of course, you can see, you can get spiritual guidance from your pastor or go to your church. Just speak to someone at least and start there, you know. And of course, you know, because I love God, he's always my first. I will ask him for help first,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, help me, guide me, lead me to where I must go.
Yeah, so I see that your first recommendation is get into a safe community where people accept you and your story, and they do not condemn or judge you for sharing your story. But there's not only one or two support groups. For every type of addiction or habit or struggle, there is a support group. So do you know of, mentioned some of the support groups that you are that you know of?
I don't know very many. I must be honest with you. Of course, the well-known one is Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes.
And I've learned a lot from them. And there's Al-Anon Family Groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's
Friends and Family of Alcoholics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they say they call them. That's the full name.
Mm.
And then, of course, Narcotics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm also thinking
Naranon, the family of narcotic people.
Mm-hmm.
And Tough Love is a group that can also help people, because, you know, when you are involved with hard drugs, the family is very tough for the family, because there's not only fighting and verbal abuse and violence, but there's, you know, the dishonesty is very bad.
Prevalent, yeah.
Yes, because they steal your things. I was busy in a conference once where an addict said, and I'll never forget this, he said, the difference between me and an alcoholic is this. I will steal your phone, you know, and I will help you look for your phone.
Yeah.
Where the alcoholic, if he steals your phone, he's just going to say nothing, you know. And so, that was so true. He just hit the...
So, but just help me again, because I missed something out. This guy was a what? Was he an addict?
He was a drug addict. Used hard drugs. You know, drugs is expensive.
Yeah.
You pay a lot of money.
So he said, I will steal your phone, and is it the alcoholic will help you to look for your phone?
No, he himself.
Yeah. The alcoholic will steal your phone, but he won't say anything.
Yeah.
He won't admit to it. But yeah. I will help you look for your phone.
Yeah.
Wow. I steal it, and I will help you look for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we were talking to 50 medical students, and we shared this with them. And yeah, and that is how hectic it can be with an addict. So it's very, very hard.
It's different,
you know,
levels of dishonesty, hey?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then I think most of the groups that you mentioned, they focus on the spiritual solution, but they talk about a higher power.
Mm.
But there are also a number of Christian or Christ-centered groups.
I hear about them, but I've never attended one.
Mm, so there's Celebrate Recovery, that is a Christ-centered program, and a number of churches have programs that are also Christ-centered that help friends and family of those that are in addiction.
Mm.
So there are various venues or areas that family and friends can go to, and even employers, if they have a employee that is struggling with a problem.
Correct.
You know, Vanita, I just want to get back to the intimacy part that we spoke about earlier. Frederick was asking you, how can these people be helped? And it's almost the end of the program, so I need to start rounding up. But the spiritual intimacy that I found that is very helpful for us when we struggle with other forms of intimacy. I'm talking now about the relationship between an addict or a recovered addict and a co-addict. is to pray together.
Mm.
I often find when we struggle in our own issues, we're all caught up in our own patterns, that we can speak to God and that we can cry out to Him and hear our honest intentions of changing, even though we're struggling. That helps us to have compassion for each other. Have you found some of this before?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can tell you that I have met people, you know, it's difficult for some. There was a time when it was difficult for me. I said to myself, do I belong in this 12-step group anymore because of my higher power? Because anybody of any belief is welcome.
Mm.
But God showed me, you know, you are where I want you to be because you are helping people and you can also carry my message.
Mm.
And I'm grateful to say that I was able to do that in some cases.
And you told me before that you actually led a few people to Jesus eventually from those groups. So we also a light in those groups to those others, that they are referred to spiritual solution, but they don't know a higher power. And if we introduce them to God, it often just helps them to build that bridge.
Definitely. Yes.
Benita, it was wonderful talking to you. We can do it long and maybe we can speak to you again another time, but we've come to the end of our program. So we just want to invite listeners to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, and from my side, Vanita, thank you very much. And listeners, thank you for joining us. If you perhaps tuned in a little bit late, you can still listen to the podcast on www.kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/IntoMeC. And if you enjoyed it and you found it helpful, please send it to a friend or to somebody that you know is struggling with the same type of thing.
Or write to us at Frederick Soeke, Frederick without a C, is like Frederick in Afrikaans, Frederick Soeke, S-O-E-K-I-E, at kpulpit.com. And tell us.
Not .com. Sorry, .co.za.
And tell us if you enjoyed it or make recommendations or tell us if you know someone that can talk on the program. We're always looking for people with stories like Benita's story. Thank you, Benita. God bless. And
it
listeners.
Was so nice to share time with you. Thanks again for asking me. And may God bless your program richly.
Amen. Till next time, listeners. Bye-bye.
Keep well. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.